Breaking news today on Sekio as Israel and Hamas extend truce for more hostage releases.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Sekulo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Sekulo.
If you've been watching over the Thanksgiving holiday, there have been many giving thanks all over Israel and the world as more hostages have been continued to be released, including hostage families we released. And one of the stories that has one of the better endings, because it's not just hostages who were released to family members that were no longer there, but actually a full family reunification of three daughters and a wife. Reunified with a husband who was not taken hostage because he was defending the kibbutz and ended up not getting taken hostage by Hamas. That whole family that the ACLJ represented was reunited over the weekend. And we've got a big breaking news announcement to make. Dad, this has now been extended an additional 2 days, which means 11 more hostages today should be released, plus an additional 10 tomorrow, an additional 10 the following day.
Yeah, I'm also happy to announce that we have had a release of one of the hostages' families. Was one of the families we represent. This was a mother and three children. And Cece, we had just filed, literally just filed at the UN a couple of days before.
Yeah, this is the Brodich family, and it was a mother and her three children. And thankfully, like Jordan said, the father did not get kidnapped. Even though he was at the kibbutz, he was defending it. And they went into, while he was out defending, they went into their house and took the mother and three children. And actually, Abigail, the little girl, the American that was released as well, she actually ran to their house. And so she was taken as well. But they were all released. And we had filed with the Working Group on Enforced or Involuntary Disappearances with the UN on this family. And they have now been reunited.
Which is great news. What's the interesting issue, of course, is there's still, well over 120 purported hostages. I say purported because I really expect that the numbers of hostages is going to decrease as far as what the final number of hostages actually apprehended by Hamas actually is going to be significantly less than what we thought.
Yeah, I think that, again, that number continues to drop. It was a much higher numbers in the 240s, 250s.
Yep.
And then now when you're starting to put these numbers together, it's some don't even reach 200. But what we do know is that the worst did not happen. The worst that we thought could happen is that these people were all killed.
Correct.
Were all executed. Or that Hamas was so disorganized that they didn't even know where these people were. Families could have been totally separated. The fact that, again, Hamas knew, even as evil as they are, that this was important to any kind of future they have, and obviously they knew that, as evil as they are, that they've kept some of these families intact. And I just want to say, I don't think that if we didn't do this work, Hamas would not be sending these families back.
No, I have to say this.
The pressure on them was coming from the whole world.
Yeah, the call we were on this morning, which was with Israelis, we do this call every morning. It's a secured call. And it was clear that 1.5 weeks ago, we met with the leadership of Qatar's ambassador to the United States.
Unplanned.
This came from a series of meetings we had with Congress that resulted in a meeting with a Democratic congressman and the Qatari ambassador. And I didn't realize I did this, although I was reminded of this today, and this is going to shock a lot of our audience. Not really. But one of the Israeli lawyers on the phone said, what was significant about that meeting was that Jay really pounded the table to get this thing moving and to get a list of the hostages. And literally a week and a half later, here we are with a significant. So the issue now for us that we're facing is there's a delegation, it's probably the last delegation for a while, going over to Brussels, to the European Union. And if that meeting takes place with the EU, then the thought was today, can Jay and team, and not just Jay, do what I did in Washington, which is basically pound the table and say, hey, we're the Americans. And it does make a difference, and I'm going to say this because it's true, that we represented a former president, and a former president may be president again. We were talking about with our Israeli colleagues, that made a big difference.
Yeah, absolutely makes a big difference. And of course, your support does as well. Support the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org. We'll be right back. sec. You know, so I do want you to know this family that's getting a lot of attention, and rightfully so over the weekend, because it's one of the best stories out of this, such a sad story since the attack by Hamas on the 7th. The fact that the Broaddus family, 40-year-old mother, a 10-year-old daughter, an 8-year-old son, and a 4-year-old son who were taken hostage by Hamas. The father was defending the family and ended up surviving in defense of the family, in defense of the kibbutz they were on, and was not taken hostage or injured. But his whole family was taken hostage during that. So he's been waiting to know, are they alive? Will they be returned? And over this weekend, they were returned. And that family, which you're not going to hear a ton of these, because many of these situations, the families we represent, the mother's gone, the father's gone.
A lot of orphans.
Now, they do have other family members and people in place, and Israel's got a big social service program to take care of these kids. But obviously, this one unique, Dad, we represented this family, and this one is going to be probably one of just a few that is an entire family that is reunified.
Yes. So I want Cece to walk us through the process.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to ask you all to do something very specific, because there's going to be more of these in the hours ahead. We're working on them now. We have a call every morning with Israelis, 9 o'clock in the morning our time, to kind of set forth the day's events with our European office, our D.C. office, our office, and of course the Israelis that we're working with, our colleagues. But let's walk through what we did for this family, because it was interesting, because they were late. They were the second batch of representation. They didn't come to Washington, and yet we went to the UN on theirs. And then I'm going to tell you what I need people to do specifically.
Yeah, so we filed on behalf of hostages through their family members with the Working Group on Enforced or Involuntary Disappearances, which is the group that has a mandate. It's the working group that has a mandate under the United Nations to work and help find abductees. And so we filed after our meetings in D.C., we filed on behalf of 4 hostages, and then we added 6 more. And in the 6 more that we added the Broaddus family, which included the mother and 3 of her children, just like Jordan said, a little girl and 2 little boys. And again, it is a miracle story because this entire family has been reunited. The father miraculously did not get abducted and was not injured or killed when they attacked the kibbutz. And so he was able to be reunited with his wife and his 3 children.
So family comes back intact. That's a blessing. It's a great story. It's a great ending. It's not going to be the typical one, unfortunately, but it happened. And Cece had that UN filing done very, very quickly with our team. Now, this is where it stands right now for the ACLJ and our involvement as we get ready for the end of November and our Faith and Freedom Drive. We've got a number of hostages that now have been freed, including clients of ours, including 4 of the ACLJ clients. This is a huge victory. Many more need our help. I mean, we're working on all of them, really. When I say all of them, really, even ones that we're not going to the UN on, we're dealing with ambassadors and governments, including Qatar. That's the biggest part of it. We've had a very big impact on Qatar.
Yeah, I mean, I would say if you turn on your TV right now and you heard about these reunifications, the country they're talking about playing the major role, even on Fox News, it says Qatar right now.
So we are expanding our defense. This is emergency stuff, folks, happening right now. We are expanding our defense of Israel and the hostages. The defense of Israel is going to be the legal work that's about to ensue. We're putting a global team together, and we may well be representing upwards of 100 heads of state or former heads of state, presidents of Bulgaria, prime ministers of South Korea, presidents of South Korea, prime minister of Canada. I mean, it goes on and on. We're also expanding our defense of the hostages. This includes through both our Jerusalem office, where Jeff Balaban is headed back towards now, as well as major meetings through our European Center for Law and Justice. It was questionable whether I'm going to go or not go. The only reason I would be going is if the meeting is set up with the ambassador of Qatar, because the feeling of the Israelis was that that meeting, because of what I was able to accomplish as an American lawyer with pretty high standing, as a lawyer who has represented a president of the United States, as a lawyer who worked on the Abraham Accords and a lot of the Israel issues when President Trump was in office, that would have clout with the Qataris, that I would actually attend, that CC would probably go, and maybe 1 or 2 others from our staff. What we're about to send is a new demand to the UN Secretary Council in just a few days. So tomorrow is actually Giving Tuesday. So that day of the year is set aside for giving to charitable organizations. Midnight tomorrow is a Giving Tuesday deadline. I want to have Giving Monday and Tuesday here. Okay, folks? So what I want to encourage you to go is support our Faith and Freedom Drive. Your donation is doubled. You go to aclj.org /Giving Tuesday. And is that live today? Is that link live today? If not, just go to aclj.org /Faith and Freedom. Let's make sure that link is live today. And it is live, and it's dollar for dollar through our Faith and Freedom Drive. Now, I'll tell you where we are. We're about 22% ahead of last year, which is great, except I'm trying to close a gap. I'm just being real transparent here. We had about a $5 million gap going into the end of the year. We've got that down to about $1.3 million. So every day we pick up $20,000 or $30,000 more over the last year, we're closing that gap. We're also running out of days here. We're down to almost a month and a few days. But the other really good news is here. A lot of you have signed up as ACLJ champions, which means you're donating, Jordan, monthly.
And when you sign up on these months that are months where you double the impact of your donation, that happens automatically. So you can be a ACLJ champion. You'll be automatically charged that amount that you chose that you're comfortable with donating monthly automatically. And on a matching month like this month, that donation will be matched. So you don't have to make another donation to make a match. That donation will be matched. So if you become an ACLJ champion this month, you're not only saying, I want to make that donation for the next month as well. The donation this month will be matched dollar for dollar. So it's a critical time to support the work. You can go to aclj.org. You can go to aclj.org/Giving Tuesday. You can go to, again, any of these places are going to take you right away. It's the ACLJ Faith and Freedom Drive. And we really need your support because we had to, in the last 6 weeks, really since the 7th, when this attack occurred, and I remember where I was, and I remember who I was with, we had to kind of reshuffle all of our efforts.
You were with two U.S. senators.
Two U.S. senators, not in Washington, D.C., had no advance warning. And these are top-level senators, which means intel was not great on this on multiple sides, but you know that's another discussion for another day.
I just got notice from our office in Washington, D.C., and Jordan, I need to tell you this, and I've already told you this on as we've talked. They have done... James and Eric and Bob have done a phenomenal job. Caitlin have done a great job. None of this would have happened in Washington without them. None of this would be happening in Europe without our ECLJ team working with our team here. The way to get this meeting that they want to have in Qatar is actually going through the U.S. embassy in Qatar and saying, I met with Sekulow. I met with these guys and the gals and meet with them. And that's to the ambassador from Qatar to the European Union. So they are even working with Congressman Landman's office, the Democratic congressman we worked with, to facilitate that meeting. That would be a very significant meeting if that happens. There is no the tie-in between our meeting, the ongoing negotiations with Qatar, and the result here, it speaks for itself. It's the most complicated. Listen, these are the most complicated hostage. We've done a lot. Everybody in this studio here has done hostage negotiations. I will tell you, this is, in my view, I get Cece's in your opinion, but my view, this is the toughest we've done.
Well, it's tough because you have Hamas, which is a terrorist organization, and they never honor their words at all. And so it gets back into the situation of where you have to have a heavy hand, where you have to push them and force them to do the right thing.
I did not think I banged the table.
So,
did I bang the table?
You can bang the table, even if you don't. Physically bang the table. I think sometimes you can
make it clear. It.
That's right. You make it very clear that they need to release, the Hamas needs to do what's right and release these hostages.
I'm banging the table.
I don't think, it wasn't an outlandish demand.
This was the nephew of the emir.
Yes, he is an Al-Thani. He's a sheik.
Yeah.
And he is the ambassador to Washington, D.C. And what we said in that meeting with the congressman who was there was the first thing these family members, all they want to know is, are their family members there? What is their status? Are they dead or alive?
Yeah.
We're not asking for them to be released right now. And are they dead or are they alive? Can you get, because you're telling everybody, you're talking a big game cutter. Can you get that information from Hamas? And you know what? Within a week and a half,
they did.
People started getting released.
Yeah, we don't have all the answers yet.
We don't have all the answers yet. Unfortunately, I think there's going to be more sad stories.
Yeah, I think we better prepare ourselves for
because,
sad
like
stories.
You said, the number of living hostages is probably not as high as it was originally reported.
Well, you know, it was originally 256, then they dropped it to 243, then they dropped it to 238. They're saying now they can't get all of them. Some of them are Palestinian Islamic Jihad. Do you remember, Jordan, walking out of the meeting mm-hmm. with a Qatari charge d'affaires mm-hmm. said to you and me about the Palestinian Islamic Jihad. They have no negotiating power with them whatsoever. So the question will be...
I won't say the word he used to describe them because I don't want to hurt his abilities, but he used a very strong word to describe dealing with them.
But our diplomatic skills were used well, and the Israeli teams were used well, too. But this is probably the last major delegation from Israel going over. Frankly, they want to stay close to home because of the releases that are coming.
You can understand that, but I think that all the work we've done overseas in the Middle East, not just in Israel, but I think of all the times in Qatar, that it wasn't unique. It wasn't like our first time dealing with Qataris. And on this scale, it was a much bigger scale because of much more hostages. But we've been there. We've flown to Doha to meet with their foreign minister to get people out of prison and to help get there and ask for their help. So it wasn't new for us and for the ACLJ. So it made sense that if we needed to take it to the next level, we knew how to do it, even if it was years later. Support the work of the ACLJ. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Seculo. So again, a great story, and out of a time when, you know, it's wonderful to have good positive stories to tell, because I think it encourages all of you too, who, you know, you watch the news, you see the stories, you wonder how can this ever turn good after what you saw on October 7th and the continued imagery, the children that were taken hostages, the families that were killed, the fathers, the mothers, how do these children ever get back? And then you get the ACLJ involvement representing these families, and over the weekend, a family that we represented, that we filed before the UN for, was fully reunified. That's father, mother, and all three children. I haven't heard of one of those stories yet.
No.
This is the first one I've heard where the whole family got reunified, that someone wasn't killed. And I just think we have Secretary Pompeo joining us now, who's our senior counsel for global affairs. And Secretary Pompeo, I think when it comes to these hostage negotiations, this is why you don't give up until you know that the status of every single hostage that was taken, whether they are now alive or dead. You don't give up until you know that, because you can reunite an entire family.
There's nothing like the focus that is brought by meeting and spending time with the families of loved ones who are held hostage. And there's nothing like the joy we witnessed in these past couple of days to see these young children reunited with their families, and to see all the joy that comes alongside the incredible pain that has been experienced by these families for the last 6 weeks now. And so we should all be heartened and encouraged by that. And it should reinforce our resolve to give Israel the capacity it needs to continue to do the necessary to get every one of them home just as quickly as is humanly possible.
You know, Mike, overnight, it has now been reported, I guess now confirmed, that they've extended the hostage ceasefire, truce, whatever you want to call it, for two more days, so maybe we can get another 20 out. I think over that period of time, I think that's fine, because Israel's also using this to retool its troops too. I mean, there was a lot of munitions. You're an army guy. There was a lot of ballistics used, so they need to redo it. But also, talking about ballistics, two ballistic missiles were fired from the Houthis at a U.S. naval warship last night. Iran and the proxies are continuing to ratchet the issue up with the U.S. and the region. What do you think the end game is here, and how do we respond? What's the appropriate response? If you were making that call, what would it be?
Well, Jay, we know the end game. We witnessed it on October 7th. The end game is to wipe Israel off the face of the earth, and it is not a Hamas effort. It is not a Hezbollah effort. It's not even just the Houthis. This is an Iranian-backed effort to eliminate the nation of Israel. And alongside of that, they'd like to eliminate the United States of America and kill as many Americans as they can as well. That's their objective. And so while the whole world is focused on these crossings, these hostages being returned, we're also seeing prisoners be released that are almost certain to resume their terror campaigns. And we are also watching Iran continue to attack Americans that are in the region. We have to do both of these at once. We've got to get the hostages home, but we have to make sure that Hamas is wiped out in its entirety, every one of the terrorists and all of its infrastructure gone. And then we have to make sure that we actually impose the costs on the regime itself, the Islamic Republic of Iran, who has fomented so much terror and caused so much grief over these last 20 years.
You know, Secretary Pompeo, we hear these extensions. And I think what people do want to figure out is, while we get the three-day extension, and we hope that that leads to 20, 30, if we count today as a separate day from those 2 days. We're not sure exactly how they're counting the numbers yet. But we know that our troops are in harm's way during this. I mean, it gets a little bit less attention, but yet we've got Houthi rebels firing, and that they're Iranian backed, firing on our ships in the Mediterranean, and we're having to shoot down, getting very close to our ships, and we're having to shoot down those missiles. So I want to remind people that it's not just our Israeli allies and Middle Eastern allies who are in harm's way, but it is men and women in the U.S. Armed Forces who are in harm's way during this holiday season, during this very volatile time in the Middle East.
No, you're exactly right. If we allow this to continue, if we don't impose costs on the regime itself, there'll be Americans killed. You can write it down. One of these missiles will get through. Our defenses won't be satisfactory. They'll conduct an assassination campaign somewhere across the world. The Iranian regime is determined to continue their jihad. They have an objective, and they're not going to rest until the cost is high enough that we can actually deter them. I saw this during my time as CIA director and a secretary of state. If you just go after their proxies, if you just take Hamas off the map, they'll regret that because they won't have Hamas as a tool on the chessboard. But make no mistake about it, if the regime doesn't feel the cost, they're going to continue what has been a 1979 and on effort to do precisely what we're seeing play out in the days and weeks that have just passed.
Your State Department designated the Houthis as a terrorist organization, as a foreign terrorist organization. The Biden administration, of course, comes in and made the decision to take them off that list. So what does that decision, the Biden administration, put in play on this particular incident we're now dealing with? What are they going to say? We're not dealing with a terrorist organization? It's inconceivable to me, first of all, that they undid this as if that was going to score points with the Iranians, which is, I'm sure, why they thought they were going to do it. Yes. But here, they're the ones initiating the problem.
It's really quite something, Jay. I don't know how you would describe them as anything other than terrorists, just as a practical layman's understanding. As a legal matter, the Houthis are, of course, terrorists. They're using violence to achieve a political objective, and they are the handmaidens to the Iranians. And now they're threatening American soldiers. I hope at the very least this administration will redesignate them. That's hard to do. I get it. You have to admit that you got one wrong.
Yep.
But the whole theory of the case, which was if we show some goodwill towards the Ayatollah and to President Raisi, then the Iranians will settle down. They will stop bothering us. I don't think anybody can watch what's happened these last 2 months and see that that's a theory that has even a plausible chance of working. And I hope that we will find others, our European friends who too often want to negotiate with the Iranians, yeah. United Nations that puts them on the UN Human Rights Commission. These are crazy ideas. The Iranians are thugs. They're theocrats, and they want to eliminate Israel, and we can't let that happen, and we have the capacity to slow them down.
And we're active there in the UN, of course, and at the European Union, too. With just a minute here, 40 hostages have been released by Hamas, including the family that we represented, one of the families we represented. How much more difficult do you think this hostage negotiation goes on? They've extended the truce for 2 more days. How long do you think this could go on, or does it reach a point where Israel, A, has to do their military, and B, Hamas runs out of hostages to deliver?
You know, sadly, I doubt they'll ever run out of hostages, because my guess is they'll go take more. This is the model that we've seen, right? There were 6 Americans held. We paid $6 billion in ransom, and there are now more Americans held today than there were the day we paid the ransom.
I think one's been released. One has been released. Mike, crazy. We appreciate it. Thanks for your insight, as always, and appreciate all of your help. Folks, you know, you look at the work of the American Center for Law and Justice here and realize we cannot do it without you. We've got the former Secretary of State is a senior counsel for global affairs for the American Center for Law and Justice. That does not happen without you. And if you look at the issues that we're involved in, whether it's just now having to defend, expand our defense of Israel, because the legal work's not going to start coming. We're already setting that team up. We're obviously negotiating for hostages. We're using our Jerusalem office, D.C. office, Strasbourg office. We're about to send another demand letter to the U.N. Secretary of U.N. Security Council.
Representing Israel and their right to defend themselves.
So that's coming in. All of this is happening. Tomorrow's Giving Tuesday, but we're going to make today and tomorrow Giving Monday and Tuesday. So go to aclj.org /... You could say Faith and Freedom or Giving Tuesday. and your donations will be doubled. And if you can make that monthly, you become an ACLJ champion at ACLJ.org.
Those champions really have made this possible for us to double the impact of our work for these Israeli hostages. Thank you.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
Hey, welcome back to Seculo. We are taking your calls, too. If you have questions for us on the air, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We've talked a lot in this first half hour as we were joined by Secretary Pompeo. And we have this new update that hostages will continue to be released as of now, that this ceasefire will continue an additional 2 days. And Dad, some of the concern we have, obviously, with this is that, one, how many hostages remain? It's still not a real clear number. It's a changing number. We'll say it that way. But we know there are living hostages that remain who can be returned to Israel and returned to their families. We are seeing stories that are very sad but still very positive of children being returned to their families, their mother and father's killed, but their larger families being able to take them back. That's happened. A family we represented, the father wasn't taken. He was defending the kibbutz, but his wife and three children were taken hostage, and they were reunited over the weekend. I mean, that is happening, these extremely positive stories, even when you're dealing with such an evil group like Hamas because of the pressure they're under from other parts of the Muslim world. So you've got extended ceasefire. This should include 10 more today, 10 or 11 today, plus an additional 10 or 11 for Tuesday and Wednesday.
In the next 48 hours, we could see another 30 hostages released.
10 to 30, yeah, somewhere between 20 to 30.
At that point, the question is, are they having to release males, not just women and children?
And we don't know that. And I think that's where having the Red Cross be able to visit those, not so far. Yes. And that's what I think the next step needs to be, is that the Red Cross needs to be able to go in and visit the remaining hostages, identify who they are. Just like you said, Jordan, that's what the request to Qatar was. Some of these family members just want to know if their family members are alive, are they dead, where they are. So the Red Cross should be. That, I think, is the next step, is they need to be allowed to go in and identify them.
Have any adult males been released?
One, the Russian.
And
the Thai. A couple of the Thais.
Okay, yes, that's
the different. Internationals.
But any Israelis?
No.
No.
Not yet.
And so that's a very big next step.
One U.S. person was Abigail, the four-year-old, who, by the way, great aunt, was in our delegation meeting with your friend, Congressman Jared Moskowitz. So, I mean, we've had the direct impact on this is for real. Now, the next phase of this, which gets complicated, is going to be the EU phase. Frankly, we were going, then we were just going to send our ECLJ team. Then this morning, things changed a little bit. It may be a shorter trip.
Again, while we're here, I mean, the two-day extension is up.
Yeah, so now they've got a two-day extension. How does that play into all of this? But this is probably the end of the family delegations for a while. Mostly, these families want to get home in case their families are released. So we've got to shorten things up, and then we're going to start working on global leaders. Yeah. That's going to be a major project that I'm working with Danny Aiello on, and Rami Levy, who we've worked with for many, many years. The former president of Bulgaria is very pro-Israel. He's going to be involved in this. He is heading Wednesday to, I believe, China in Hong Kong for a meeting with 100 former heads of state. We may end up representing Jordan and CeCe, the 100 heads of former heads of state, in proceedings at the ICC, because here's what that does. That tells the ICC, here's what 100 former presidents and prime ministers would have done if they were in the exact same situation as Israel. They can't just blow that off.
No, I want to just make that, just kind of tie that into just one quick sentence. We know the next stage of this battle, when the hostage situation has been completed as best as possible, it's never going to be perfect. We know that. It's going to be a lot of sad stories too, but there are going to be these positive stories, and that's why you keep fighting, because there's going to be more positive stories. We know that they exist, and we're going to keep fighting. But the next stage will be the delegitimize Israel in the courts of international law. Call out Israel as war criminals. Show the destruction of Gaza and say this was not proportional to what happened on October 7th. And then you know what I think you make that international court do? Watch the entire video that was filmed by Hamas.
45 minutes.
Don't let them get up. It's 45 minutes long. They don't get to leave.
No coffee breaks, no snacks, no smoking breaks.
Yeah, see if they'll do that.
All right, support the work of the ACLJ. We are in our Faith and Freedom Drive. Any amount you donate is doubled. ACLJ.org. If you make that recurring, you become an ACLJ champion. Back with more in a moment.
All right, you know, I mean, I know it sounds like you're at the ACLJ. This is a huge undertaking, but the ACLJ is a big organization with offices all over the country and the world. And our other work does not stop. It does not cease even over the holidays and Thanksgiving. And what I want to make sure is clear to people. I had someone come up to me during the holidays actually talking about the 14th Amendment issue while I was on a trip. And you know, will President Trump be on the ballot? The real questions are happening. We're also fighting for life in the courts. We've had a lot of setbacks. Now, we had huge victory overturning Roe versus Wade, but we saw a strategy by some of the more some pro-life groups to say, let's get this right again to the voters after people were just starting to digest what it meant to overturn Roe versus Wade, which we were concerned about because we said, hey, you know, Planned Parenthood's been educating these people since 1973. If Roe versus Wade got overturned, we have just been focusing on trying to overturn Roe versus Wade in the federal level and really been educating the courts, not so much the citizens. And then it happened, and then we put ballot initiatives on a year later without the money that Planned Parenthood had. So we're looking at it through the legal way, and we're doing it right now in court.
So in the wake of the Dobbs decision, the Iowa legislature in Iowa passed a fetal heart bill, and unfortunately, pro-abortionists have come out against this law, not shockingly, claiming a right to abortion is found, guess what, in the state's constitution. So on behalf of 45 Iowa state legislatures, the ACLJ has submitted an amicus brief to the Iowa Supreme Court laying out the legal arguments. CeCe, this is not the first brief in this area we've done.
No, and once again, it's Planned Parenthood coming against a pro-life bill. This is a heartbeat bill that actually protects a baby from abortion once the heartbeat is detected, and it gives exceptions, medical emergency, fetal heartbeat exceptions, or rape, incest, miscarriage, or fetal abnormality incompatible with life. So it does have exceptions. But once again, Planned Parenthood is not going to let that lie. So they have come against this bill, and we have filed an amicus brief, like you said, on behalf of 45 legislators supporting it and pointing out that actually the Iowa Supreme Court has actually stated that abortion is not in their constitution.
So this is the interesting aspect of this as we litigate these. You know, at the same time, we've got a Colorado Supreme Court brief that we just finished up this weekend that Ben Sisney, Jane Raskin, our colleagues are filing with the Colorado Supreme Court on keeping Trump on the ballot. That's the legal issue there. And again, no matter where you stand on the former president, whether you want to be the nominee or not, he has the right to be on the ballot. And a Secretary of State does not have the right to take somebody off the ballot simply because they disagree. That is all happening simultaneously. But what's also happening simultaneously is we are 7 weeks away, Jordan, from the Iowa caucus.
Yeah.
So you can't keep saying a lot can happen in the next 6 months because a lot can happen in the next 6 weeks.
That's right. And I mean, the Iowa caucus sets a big stage because it will be, is there anyone who could match Trump? It's a different than a vote. It's different than a primary. Remember, Ted Cruz technically won it the first time, but he won it by such a small amount. There's nothing against him, but the numbers were so close. He didn't get the big the big bounce after because they weren't able to declare him the clear winner until they were basically voting in New Hampshire. So
Ron DeSantis, they're saying, is double down in Iowa.
Right.
So has now Nikki Haley.
Mm-hmm.
What's your sense there?
I mean, then they have to win it because if Donald Trump wins it easily that night, and I say easily by like if it's 10 or more points because of what they're having to do versus what he's having to do, then think about that. Then you're going into the actual voting in New Hampshire. He's up way up. It's over. So if no one can take Iowa from Donald Trump, I think this primary is over. I'm of the belief that this is already over. I know there's another debate. Is it this week? Next week? Next week. I know there's another debate next week. If those same candidates again, it just doesn't seem. I know there's the. When's the DeSantis versus the governor?
This Friday.
Yeah, so again, that gives
Sean Hannity's doing it. Yep.
So it gives people something interesting to watch. But again, if you're talking about Donald, who's going to be the nominee right now, there's no indication that for the Republican Party, it's going to be anyone but Donald Trump.
So in that I'm just looking at this thing kind of. There were all kind of rumors running that DeSantis was pulling out. Now, that rumor ended up being a rumor, but his chief of his
super PAC
quit Unusual?
A few weeks out, it's not a great sign. Because your super PAC at this point is supposed to be so in line because you're not allowed to coordinate with your campaign. So at this point, you were supposed to use all that time when you could coordinate because you didn't have a campaign yet to basically be in sync without even having to talk to each other. Mm-hmm. Now, what you'll see a lot of times on these super PAC websites is they'll go to YouTube and they'll release everything. You'll see the polling, you'll see the ads. And that, they do that so that the campaign can then take those video images and they can reutilize it. So again, to get rid of the head of the super PAC is a big, I don't think they were necessarily picked up by someone. Is it a money thing? Is it a, we think we've got to just go somewhere different? Usually you don't do that a few weeks before people start voting, but DeSantis has done this a couple of times to try and stay relevant.
And then the issue is the life issue going to be front and center for at least conservatives in this coming right. primary season?
Well, and again, we're talking about Iowa when we just filed an amicus brief because Planned Parenthood is attacking a heartbeat bill. We've seen that when this issue of life gets on the ballot, it does not help the pro-life group. So, you know, this is not a ballot issue. This is in the courts. But hopefully there are pro-life people to come out and vote.
Yeah, when the ballot initiative's on there, our candidates don't end up doing that great.
No, I think that if the issue doesn't end up doing that great. I think what happens is pro-life candidates still win. People still vote for pro-life candidates. And I think what you see is you'll see Donald Trump, he can run very strong. He made the appointments that overturned Roe versus Wade. And what he said is
I think. If I was him, I would say, could debate what you're going to do. I appointed the three justices that actually overturned the...
And then you have the debate in your states.
And then, now, Nikki Haley's taking a very different view on this now.
Stay a little bit more of a slightly different view than Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Not too much. But a little bit
still
more
mainstream.
Mainstream stop pro-life. Being so... I would not say mainstream in the pro-life movement, but I'd say pretty mainstream in the Republican Party, which is we can't give up on every voter who's still confused post-Roe being overturned. Like we've obviously did not do a good enough job educating voters. So they thought that if you got ectopic pregnancy, you're going to go to jail.
Right.
If you have a procedure, if you have cancer and have got to make life decisions about whether or not you can carry a child to term. I mean, incest that we're talking about, rape we're talking about, rape kits that are used very quickly after someone is put. These were all effective ads by the pro-abortion industry that were not countered well because the money wasn't there to counter them quick enough in the states where they knew they were going to run those ads. They ran those ads a day and two before the election. We could not counter them. We've got to probably spend the next few years, just like we did fighting Roe versus Wade, now countering the disinformation on the laws. But it also means the laws need to be really well written, and we're working on those so that they're not open to that kind of interpretation.
That has been a serious problem. I need to say this also, and the ACLJ is working on this, but ACLJ Action is also doing a lot of work on this.
They are, and we're working closely legally, but also on policy-wise in the states to make sure that if we're gonna go to battle on this, are we in the best possible position to do it? Sometimes you don't get to pick. You know, the legislature decides they're going to go forward with the law. But what we've seen is it's oftentimes better for the legislators to do it and then to fight it out in court than it is to put it up to a ballot initiative. Mm-hmm. Because ballot initiatives are much more vulnerable to who has the most money to run ads. And right now the abortion industry has more money. But if you go to Republican states and there's more Republican legislators, guess what? There's more pro-life legislators, and we can go fight it out in courts, and those judges are usually going to be appointed in those states by people who were of pro-life position. So right now, we'd rather fight those battles in legislatures and courts than you would in ballot initiatives and constitutional amendments. Years from now, after we have time to educate voters, I think we'll be in a very different position. But we're not at that point yet. We need to, and I think that's what Nikki Haley's saying. We honestly are not at the point yet where people can really understand the difference between, is this going to affect me? If I have miscarriage, am I going to be investigated for a crime?
Yeah, that's right.
They have to remove the
language has to be clear.
Yeah.
It's interesting. The Real Clear Politics average in Iowa is Trump 47, DeSantis 17, Haley 14.3. So if you add everybody else up, it probably doesn't really equal Trump. I mean, he's got.
It's a weird thing, though. It's not as easy as a vote.
Caucuses.
You got to be there for hours, and
which is not his thing.
And sometimes his supporters, that's not their thing either.
Right.
So his supporters have got to go for hours. I think he's gonna have to spend some more time there. I think he will. I don't think he's gonna want to get you know, come close in Iowa. I think he wants to probably end this primary that night. And so I would imagine that Donald Trump between now and Iowa is going to be spending a significant amount of time in Iowa and is going to embarrass them to where he's 30 and 40 points ahead. And how are they going to even justify moving forward their campaigns into their home states like South Carolina?
We are expanding our efforts to defend Israel, both now the defense of Israel as a nation state through the court system as well as the hostages, through our offices in Jerusalem, Washington, our office here with our media team, and with our ECLJ office, which may now include meetings with the Qatari ambassador. We're about to send a new demand letter to the United Nations Security Council in just days regarding Israel's right to defend itself. We're going to be meeting with foreign leaders at the middle of December 20th, again, in defense of Israel. None of this happens without your support. We're in our Faith and Freedom drive, aclj.org/faithandfreedom. Any amount you donate is doubled. And if you can make that a monthly recurring gift, you become an ACLJ champion. And that drastically, radically changes what we're able to do at the ACLJ. So I encourage you to do that if you can. ACLJ.org. Back with an update on our movie, Jingle Smells. We come back.
All right, welcome back to Psychios. We talked about some serious things the ACLJ is working on. But as you know, if you've been watching the broadcast the last couple of weeks, ACLJ Films is also out with a feature film to brighten your day during the holidays. We encouraged a lot of people to purchase the movie via Rumble through ACLJ Films, Jingle Smells, and Sean Hannity's behind it as a co-producer with Logan. And I think, again, we said, you know, Thanksgiving would be a great time to do it, but it's a Christmas movie, and a lot of people were traveling during Thanksgiving, Logan,
yeah,
and I want to make sure they know that even if they didn't get it during Thanksgiving because they may have been on the road or in hotels.
It is a Christmas movie.
It's a Christmas movie. You got plenty of time to watch Jingle Smells.
Yes, it's available right now, like you said, on Rumble. You can find it by going to rumble.com/jinglesmells or just go to jinglesmells.movie. Click the big button that says order now. It is available. Though it says, you know, I've had a couple questions that come up. Thousands of you, by the way, purchased, and I really appreciate that.
And the reviews have been great.
Yeah, the fact that we're able to provide something, like you said, something that's light, that's fun, but still has a lot of heart and has a lot of the ACLJ messages packed in it. It was really important. We're taking on Hollywood in a big way, and we're doing it with our partners, with Sean Hannity and with Rumble, the number one free speech platform. So very cool for us to be doing that. But I'll say some people have said, also, is it pay-per-view? Because they see the little PPV. It's a on-demand film. But once you've made that purchase in 1999,
you've got it.
You could watch it 4,000 times. I don't care. I'd love for you to. And we're having people had watch parties over the weekend,
yep,
which was really fun. A lot of families got together. A lot of the cast got together and watched it. And thousands upon thousands of you have watched this movie. And it's showing that we can really make a difference. Again, it's a comedy. It's a big Christmas comedy. But at its heart, it has a lot of the messages that are really important to us. Talks about supporting our military, talks about cancel culture, and a lot of the top topics. Yeah, and there's certainly a faith element. It's a Christian Christmas movie, so certainly there's going to be that in there. It's not. It's a very creative, fun story about a Hollywood celebrity who gets canceled and what happens to his toys when they're pulled from the shelves and they end up in the hands of these garbage men / military vets, and what are they going to do with them? And it becomes a Robin Hood style Santa Claus kind of journey. Really fun movie. The reviews have been great.
Heck of a cast.
And a great cast. John Schneider, obviously.
Talk about the cast for a minute here.
Yeah, we have John Schneider from The Dukes of Hazzard and from Smallville. You got him, obviously. You got Ben Davies, who you may know from The Daily Wire. You've got SNL's Jim Brewer and Victoria Jackson. On the same set. This set, actually.
Yep.
Fun little Easter egg. Yeah, you got Brad Stein, pro wrestlers James Storm and Dylan Hornswoggle Postel, and Academy Award nominee Eric Roberts, plus plenty of other incredible actors who come in for different things. And there's little cameos throughout from all of us, from our friends.
Incredible actors like
Jordan Sekulow, like your wife, like my wife. There are lots of
the
little...
The music's great too, I have to
music,
say.
Music, J-Band Pop sent us a song. John Rich gave us a song to use.
This
so there is,
nice.
Is a lot of, if you want to say, goodwill coming into this
100%.
Christmas movie. And the fact that it's available on Rumble, I think, though it may be a barrier because people maybe haven't made a purchase through Rumble yet, We are seeing that thousands of people will. And that is very exciting because that means there's no red tape. That means there's no middleman. That means there's no one between you and your screen. We're able to provide content that is made 100% independently. And that is very rare. It was very cool to see.
Look, there are thousands of you watching right now on social media, whether it's YouTube, Facebook, or Rumble. If you, all that are watching, would buy the movie, it's going to be great for your family. It will increase those sales. By the way, this helps the ACLJ. It's an ACLJ film. So a portion of those proceeds are going right back here to the ACLJ.
Majority.
Yeah. Yeah, so majority of them. How does this work, Logan? What do people need to actually physically do to buy that movie right now?
It's very simple. You just go to jinglesmells.movie is the domain. There's a big giant button that says order here. Click it. You'll see another. It'll take you to the Rumble page. If you're not already there, I'll take you to the Rumble page. There's another button that says buy. Click that. Put in your credit card information. The movie will start right up. And there's also a Rumble app. You can get it that way as well. You can watch it that way. We encourage you to buy it through the website. And I've been frank and honest with you of why. And that is that Apple or Amazon or whoever it is that's providing that app is taking a large percentage of the revenue. When you make a purchase through a device, that's how they make their money.
It's better to even open up the website on your phone to buy it that way.
Open up the website and make your purchase there, because that means the money essentially going to the people who made the movie. And obviously, Rumble is our platform, so they get a percentage, as they should, because they are a great partner. And they featured it over the weekend. Hundreds of thousands of you have watched the trailer. I mean, I think that's
800,000.
I mean, some of that includes the views of the movie. So, I mean, there's a groundswell happening here for this film. And what we hope is this rolls right into the next project that we have, and we're excited about it.
It's also important that... And I think this is really critical, that as you enjoy the movie, you tell your friends, because a lot of this is word of mouth marketing. Now we're talking about it on our airtime here. We hosted the Hannity broadcast. Sean's been talking about it. Sean's in it. Logan's in it. Jordan's in it. Their spouses are in it. I'm in it. The band's in it. And it's just a great, great movie. We watched it in our theater room at home on the big screen, and it was, I got to tell you, it was fantastic. And later that night, Pam was watching a Hallmark movie. And it's fine. It's the big one they have about Asheville.
Yeah.
But it was obvious, and you said you think they limited maybe some of the way they shot it. It was fine.
Oh,
it was
a good movie. I loved that movie. I thought it was a good movie. It was a great movie.
But I think this one is just deeper.
Yeah, no, it's not just a silly, on-the-surface-level Christmas movie or even a sweet Christmas movie. It has those big elements you want, but it has a big family message in it.
Yeah.
And it's important. It feels like an important movie when you watch it, and the topics are not all light and fluffy. Even at opening, the first scene is our lead in jail. So, I mean, that tells you where the story kind of goes. It's a redemption story, really, for all the characters, including the hardcore liberal characters we put in this. Maybe they even go through some redemptions thanks to Victoria Jackson. Not all of them, but most of them.
The lawyer knows.
Every time that there's a... What I like about this movie is it's funny, and then there'll be moments of seriousness and moments of heartfelt, and then we swerve you.
You laugh and you cry in the same movie.
Then we swerve you, though, and we go right back into the fun. So there's not too long before you're right back into the Christmas fun. We've kind of said similar to a Home Alone or a Christmas Vacation, where there's moments of heart, moments of sweet, but really at the end of the day, and we're in just now in the Christmas season.
Can I read some of these that just came in? Of the, by the way, we are 17,514 champions. Sean and Noel said, I absolutely love Jingle Smells. Great movie, Logan. Wendy on Rumble said, bravo for Jingle Smells. A fun movie with thought-provoking themes. I loved it. Comfort on Rumble said, it was great, Logan. Another Rumble comment. Do you want me to give away the line here?
I think that's okay. You can keep an eye out for
Logan us. Logan was in jail, and Jordan was the mayor. Wonderful movie.
Yes. There you go, Mayor Jordan. Jordan Mayer is very up for, like, it's clearly you. In jail, I have face tattoos. I look like Jelly Roll. You know, you can find me there, but look for me in the very first scene. You can hear my voice a few times throughout it. So
I got to tell you,
a lot of little cameos through the voices, including Governor Mike Huckabee makes a cameo. A
couple other big names cameos.
Eric Bischoff from the professional wrestling WCW. Butch Hartman makes a cameo. Just vocal little cameos. I called in a lot of favors. I texted a lot of friends and said, hey, I'd love to involve you guys in some ways. And look, that's the one thing that was really cool, especially to people like Huckabee. They all wanted to play. They all wanted to involve. They all know there needs to be laughs going on right now.
Jinglesmells.movie, and it gets right there to it. Jinglesmells.movie. There's a QR code also if you're watching us.
Yep.
You can go right there. Or you can go right to rumble.com and type in Jinglesmells, and it's going to come up. Yeah. It's $19.99, and basically you get to watch it unlimited after that.
Yeah.
Share it with your friends. I'd encourage you today. We're going to keep this momentum going, folks. The momentum has been great. Thousands and thousands of you watched it during Thanksgiving, but it's a Christmas movie, so now's when we really want you to get involved. Again, the movie's Jingle Smells. Go to jinglesmells.com. jinglesmells.movie. Yep. You can download it that way.
Yep, you can do Rumble. It that way. We also put up another video on how to watch Jingle Smells on your TV. If you're not familiar with the Rumble app, that is on that channel as well. 30,000 plus have watched that video.
I was texting you.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of people, you know, it's a new platform for that since. Yeah. This is the first feature film they've ever done. So we are breaking really cutting-edge technology.
It really
right
is
now.
Using cutting-edge digital technology to promote. And this is another way the ACLJ impacts the culture. So go to jinglesmells.movie and download it today and order it for your friends and post your comments. We really want to hear that. Support the work of the ACLJ and our matching campaign right now. Very important.